after a person becomes a Christian, what should he desire above all else? Well, I am convinced from Scripture that his greatest concern should be to glorify Jesus Christ. By this I mean wherever he goes and whatever he does should be such that it is highly honorable to God. The 17th chapter of John's Gospel is one of the most sublime chapters in the Bible. The prayerful reading of it is as though one were passing through the veil into the holiest of all. The time appears to be the eve of the crucifixion. Though Christ prayed frequently, this is one of his few recorded prayers. It is the longest prayer in the New Testament and should be recognized as the true Lord's Prayer. It was said that never man spake like this man. We may also conclude that never man prayed like this man. How gracious of the Holy Spirit to provide for our instruction this unusual prayer of the Son communing with the Father. Because it is voiced by God the Son to God the Father, we must realize that there is much in the content that no human mind can fully understand. Now in verse 1 we read, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven." The Son of Man lifting up his eyes to heaven suggests the ruling out of every human thought that might detract. He prays, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." The long-awaited hour of history when the Son of Man would lay down his life to provide redemption for all who should believe had finally come. Repeatedly, Christ had declared, "Mine hour has not come," but now it had arrived. The heart of the Son of God was heavy with the weight of the world's sin resting upon him. The fact that Christ had a specific time to die suggests the certainty of the plan of God. He could not die before his hour. Now, what was true of our Lord is also true of those who love him. Can life be snatched from God's servants before their appointed hour? Most certainly not. God says in Psalm 116, verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Would even a faltering human be careless of that which is precious? Is God any less careful of his own blood-bought children? He is not. We are kept by the power of God until that time when God chooses to call us home. And that power will keep us until, in the providence of God, the hand of death is permitted to lift us into glory. Now, Christ's first petition was, "Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." This embodies both the equality that existed between the Father and the Son, and the loving submission of the Son to permit the divine plan to be fulfilled. The chief end of this would be that men and women of every generation would have the possibility of being saved. Now in verse 2, "Jesus prayed, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." The Father committed all power to the Son, as Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Not only does Christ possess the power to save the lost, but also to keep them saved. He gives eternal life to as many as the Father gives him. Now, what is eternal life? Notice verse 3. "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Eternal life is to know God the Father and Jesus his Son. The word "know," as used here, means more than having knowledge. It involves commitment to the control of the Father and the Son. It implies obedience, reverence, and submission. If one comes to know God the Father and Jesus Christ his Son, it will be evidenced in a holy life. Believers are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If one who professes to be a follower of God through Christ does not produce good works, his salvation is doubtful. In verse 4, notice the words of Jesus, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. There was never a time during his earthly sojourn when Christ did not glorify the Father. Followers of Christ have this same obligation. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:2, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. The Holy Spirit has engraved on the heart of every believer holiness unto the Lord. There is no provision for believers to continue in known sin after being redeemed by the blood of the Son of God. Christ finished the work which God gave him to do, the work of redemption. Christ came to seek and to save the lost, as we read in Luke 19:10. In Luke 5:32, we read, he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. His work, by providing eternal salvation, is finished. There is not a reminder there for those of us who love him to guard against the satanic evil of procrastination in our labors for Christ. Christ finished the work of salvation, and so we can go out and publish the good news that Christ died for our sins, and anyone who believes on him can be saved. Now verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. One can pray, glorify thou me, only after he has finished the work which God has given him. Those Christians who live for self, who are not earnestly sharing their faith, know nothing of the glory of the Lord. In verse 6 we read, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Here Christ speaks of his disciples, not only the original 11, but all those who would follow him during ensuing generations. Name has to do with God's attributes and character. Christ made the Father known to his followers in a way in which he had never been known before. Christ did live with the Father throughout eternity. He manifested the name of the Father. That is, he made known the Father's desires for men and women, his plan of salvation, as well as future glory in heaven. This knowledge was given to those whom the Father had given to him. Thine they were by creation, but the Father gave them to the Son by recreation through the new birth. Our Lord made a most gracious remark regarding the disciples. He said, they have kept thy word. Consider how they failed in this respect, and even worse, how they would fail after Christ's crucifixion. But you see, our Lord is loving and kind. He overlooked their many weaknesses as he said, they have kept thy word. Verses 7 and 8, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. The disciples had finally come to believe and accept the truth which they did not receive for a long time after Christ had begun his public ministry. They received his teachings, but even more, they believed. And friend, I hope you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, for there is no salvation apart from the Son of God who poured out his blood that you might have everlasting life. If you haven't trusted him, do it now as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll open the eyes of some. They have been in spiritual darkness. Deliver them, I ask, in the name of Jesus, that they may believe on him. Be with those of us who have named his name, that we may truly glorify him in all that we say or do, for we ask in his name, amen.